Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, 30a. So we started yesterday, new bit of the Mishnah. New bit of the Mishnah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down in the wide lines. Two dots. Shnayim Omrim Zakai. Two people said, innocent. So he's going back to the Mishnah. We don't need to look at the Mishnah again because the Gemara is not really going on the Mishnah. It's just going to talk about a point that's related but not specifically to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said it. Two of the judges said innocent and one said guilty. If one, two said guilty and one said innocent, you followed the majority. Unless you one of them said he didn't know and then you add. Here the Gemara is now looking at how we declare the verdict. What exactly do the judges say? We're going to see now there's three different opinions. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Elazar. So this is right about we saw them yesterday, the three opinions. Three opinions about what the judges say. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar. Right. What do they say? How do we declare the verdict? So three different opinions. Rabbi Yochanan says Zakai. Rabbi Yochanan says innocent. But here we're talking about monetary cases. It's not really innocent. It's you owe the money, you don't owe the money, but Zakai and Chayel are the two easiest ways of saying it. Top, innocent. Reish Lakish says no. Loni said innocent. Loni said guilty. Again, it's not really guilty because it's a etc. You have to specify which of the judges said what. And Rabbi Elazar said a third opinion, which seems similar to the first, but it's a little bit different. From their words, they found innocence.
Their words meaning the witnesses?
Meaning from their...
From the judge's words.
From their deliberations. From their deliberations. The judges decide.
Okay. Now, normally they give an oral rendering. But if they want a written rendering,
yes,
then we have a dispute on how they should write it down.
Yes.
The problem is
the dispute is not also on how they say it verbally. Because what do they say verbally?
They say the same thing, but if they want
to... Right, say the same thing. So the dispute is also on the verbal.
Right, but if they want a record,
yeah,
and it's something... If they find out that when they go to a higher court that they made a mistake, then who's responsible? With the first ones...
Yeah, hold on. You're charging away.
Okay.
Also in the verbal, if they verbally stated, then the same thing applies.
Right.
Okay. Top. So what have we got? So we've got three different opinions. So now the Gemara is going to analyze what's the difference between them. My Benayhu. Right? What's between them? Ikmanayo, this is what's between them. So the Gemara is going to now try three different explanations about as to how to describe the difference between them, meaning why they said what they said. Why? So let's see. The Shlomi Ihu Matana Badaihu. So the first attempt at resolving what's between them is the Shlomi for payment. Itu matna manata behadayu, whether he pays together with the others. Right, what's he saying? What's the case? The case is where we have a case of two chayav and one is innocent. The other way around. Right? Let's say
Do you need more markers?
I need that black one. Everybody else, you don't want to work. Two same guilty, one says innocent. And this is our case that we're dealing with. It might be the other way around, two say innocent, one say guilty, but it's easiest to say this way. Two say guilty. Now, the one who says innocent, right? Two say guilty and one says innocent. Now,
this isn't our case.
Two say guilty. You're right. It's the same thing. I wrote it this way because it's easier to explain the fact that he says guilty means he owes him. We're going to see that the court, that it's found that the court says they were wrong. So it's the two who are wrong. He's not really guilty, right? He could be innocent, but he's not really innocent. I'm happy to stick with the Lashon of the Gemara, but just to not make it...
The question is who's going to reimburse the party?
The party who, two say innocent, and one says guilty. Right. Now, it turns out that these two got it wrong. Right, is that it was an errant judgment. Now, we know that in the case of an errant judgment, in some cases anyway, not in every case, but in some cases, the judges have to pay. Right, the judges have to pay from their own pocket if they mess up. Now, the question is, who pays up here? It wasn't a unilateral decision. It wasn't three got it wrong. He got it right, but he was overruled. Question is, does he have to pay? So, according to this first explanation, that's the difference between these opinions. Why? Delamand amar zakai, the one who said zakai, which is Rabbi Yochanan, not the judge, right? We're talking about the opinion. Laman is the opinion. The one who says zakai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, mashalem, he needs to pay. Rabbi Yochanan, who says Zakai over here, what's the nafkamina between them? You see the difference between these two opinions. When Rabbi Yochanan says about the verdict, written or oral, innocent, and doesn't say who said what, then he makes them all liable together. All the judges are liable together because there's no way of identifying who said what. Whereas we're going to see now the next opinion of Reish Lakish is, because we said Judge A said innocent, Judge B said guilty. So when it comes to paying up for messing up, so only the one who got it wrong has to pay.
Only if it's messed up.
Yeah, only if it's messed up. We're talking about case. What my benayu, ikan benayu. What's between them? The case of where they messed up, then it's relevant. Otherwise, it's not relevant. It doesn't matter.
Right, but
according to the first opinion, according to the later opinion, yes, it does.
Yeah.
Right, but according to this first opinion, this is what's between. Right, this is the first explanation of why they said it differently. Right, so the Gemara says so. According to Lamanda Amar Zakai, according to the one who says Zakai, which is Rabbi Yochanan, the first opinion to Zakai, Mashalem, he needs to pay. They all pay, even the dissenting judge. Has to pay because they're all together, they're all lumped together in this one declaration of Zakai. They're not separated out into their own opinions. Ulamanda ma ploni ba ploni mazakin, ba ploni ba ploni mechayvin. According to one who says ploni and ploni are said innocent, and one said ploni said guilty.
Which is Reish Lakish,
the second opinion. Lama shalom. He doesn't have to pay, right? Because he was specified at the time of the court that he went against that opinion. So when they come to penalize the judges, it was very clear that he didn't get it wrong. There's no point in penalizing him if he didn't get it wrong, right? It was specified as well. So he doesn't have to pay out of his own pocket in that case. Okay?
But the Gemara
doesn't
two opinions on that.
The Gemara doesn't go into Rabbi Elazar's opinion at this point. The Gemara just at this point drops it and says, no, that doesn't work. Right? This is the first attempt of the Gemara to say, my benehu, right? And to give a reason of what could be the difference between them. It's going to drop it now and say, no, that's not the reason between them, that doesn't work. But it doesn't go into the third one of Rebbe Elazar and what he would have said. In the case of Rebbe Elazar, whether or not he would have said that the third judge has to pay up. So according to the footnote, the Yad Ramah says he agrees with Rebbe Yochanan that he does have to pay, but he's not specified. Rebbe Elazar would agree with Rabbi Yochanan in the case of a court that erred in their judgment, that the third judge would also have to pay because he's not specified in the declaration as being dissenting. Even though it's possible from Rabbi Elazar's opinion that there was a dissenting judge. Right, that's why it was phrased in that way, to say that from this opinion we came out with the following result, indicating that it might not have been unanimous. So even though it does indicate that it might not have been unanimous, it doesn't indicate which one. So he's not off the hook, according to the Yad Ramah, who comments on what the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't go into that. Okay.
Any of the three saying that if the person is not judged properly, that he doesn't have to pay? Is there a case that he doesn't have to
pay? The ones who messed up have to pay for sure.
The ones who messed up only if what they said.
There was different rules, we learned before different rules about when they pay, when they don't pay, if it's a matter of law, if it's a matter of law that's known, that it was a single opinion that wasn't known. There's different, but we're talking about a case where they do actually have to pay. We're not really going into saying that why they have to pay, whether it was agreed beforehand, they have an indemnity, there are expert judges, they're not experts. We looked at all that before. But we're talking about, let's just go to a case where they do have to pay, and now we've got a difference between them. We're trying to find the difference between these three opinions. Why they said what they said, because otherwise there's no reason to have a different opinion if you can't find a nafka mina between them. You can't find... it doesn't matter. Let's say zakah, let's say plon, who cares?
There is one opinion that says that...
That's later on.
The two judges pay.
That's later on. That's the next opinion. We're going to get there. Right? So here... The Gemara is just trying to work out how can I understand that they're giving three different answers? This is not a practical difference between them. So I'm going to find a practical difference. It might be in a very narrow case where, well, it's not so narrow actually, where the judges are, there is such a thing. It doesn't happen a lot. And if they were experts, they wouldn't. And if it was a known case of law, again, it wouldn't have been, etc. Okay, that's good. Or still,
what does the third one mean from the words they found?
It means what we're going to see. That third one comes relevant later, more relevant in the other opinions, than the third opinion particularly. What the difference is between the first and the third is, in the case of the first, it appears that it's unanimous. The court found you innocent. It looks like everybody agreed you were innocent. But in the case of Elazar, he's indicating that there was a dissension. From the judgment of the court, you were found to be innocent. Meaning, that was the conclusion. It wasn't across-the-board decision. It was only the majority decision went in your favour. We're going to see in the third opinion why that's more relevant. The one that we're going to go with in here.
So the innocent referring to the person who messed up, he's innocent, he doesn't have to pay, is that wrong?
Yeah, that's why I switched it, because it's easier to understand the other way around. It doesn't matter, I mean, both work either way. But it means that they messed up and he had to pay, and the judges have to pay his loss, whatever it was. However they caused him a loss, even though they say, that's why... To say he's innocent but you caused him a loss doesn't really go as well as saying he's guilty and caused him a loss. I think the Gemara Dafka wrote it this way, so you wouldn't think it only applies in one direction. Because it's easy to understand where you said he was chayav and he had to pay. and therefore he had to pay, he paid up, and now he's made a loss. But what about if he was found innocent and that was wrong? So again, the judges have to pay if there's a loss to pay. I don't know what the case would be, because it also will play a heel between two parties, right? We're not, this is a monetary case, so it's not a case of corporal liability. Of so once found innocent, once found guilty is
it could either be a loan,
right?
Or
usually the case is a loan. So if we take a standard case of a loan, and what's the claim? The claim is that he didn't pay it back. So if we find at the against the one who's brought to court is brought to court because it's claimed against him that he didn't pay up. He owes money. He hasn't paid it back. He hasn't returned the money, the loan that he got given. And if the judges found him innocent, so who are they paying? They're paying the other side. They found him innocent, meaning he doesn't have to pay it. But actually he did have to pay it. And therefore, who's lost out? The one who lent him the money, the other litigant. And that's what they're liable for. They're allowed to pay the litigant his money back that he never got because they made an error in judgment. Because they said innocent, when really they should have said guilty and made him pay. Okay, so that's option number one, but the Gemara rejects it. Doesn't like it, why not? Because it says like this, Ulamanda Amar Zakai Mishalem, the one who said, the one who said innocent, excuse me, and he has to pay. Lema lehu, right, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, we held that what would he hold? He would hold that all three of them have to pay because it wasn't specified who made each decision. Right, so even the third one has to pay. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't work. Lema lehu, let him say to them, Ila didi siatitun, if you'd listen to me, atunami loishalmitun, you too wouldn't have to pay. Right, the third one's got a good argument to the other two. Why do I have to pay on your, because you messed up? You didn't listen to me. I told you he was guilty. You went with your own decision. You didn't listen to me. So, no, it's not fair to make me pay. So it's an interesting way of explaining it. But it's a simple understanding about what's going on. Simple understanding is he didn't mess up, he shouldn't have to pay. It's not exactly the wording of the Gemara as to why the Gemara explains he doesn't have to pay. The Gemara could have said, well, he didn't mess up, he shouldn't have to pay. Why does he have to pay? But here the Gemara expresses it. He can say to the other two, if you would have listened to me, you too wouldn't have to pay. And therefore he shouldn't have to pay. I'm not completely satisfied with how that is a better explanation.
He had to try to convince them, and he didn't.
He did. Well, he tried. He tried.
If he did, then this is applicable. If he didn't try, then maybe it's not applicable.
No. Well, because here the Gemara is using it as an argument, right. A good argument on which to throw out this opinion. Like completely, it doesn't say only in the case of where. Because even if we had only in the case where he tried, then we still have a valid Ika Banayhu. In the case where he tried to convince them, this would be the difference between them. It would still stand. It would be a narrower opportunity when that would occur, but it's still good. It would still be a valid option. But the Gemara says, no, we can't make this argument as a valid argument, because the third one can say, you should have listened to me, and no one would be having to pay now. So I shouldn't have to pay. And because of that, the Gemara rejects it. Says that's not the Ika Benahu. That's not the what's between them. So Gemara tries again. Ela Ika Benahu. Rather, this is what's between them. Leshalume Inhu Manata Dide. Whether they pay his share. What's the second one? Second is like this. The second one says, you know what? We agree with that argument of the Gemara, that there's no reason why the third guy should have to pay at all. He didn't mess up. Right? He didn't, for sure, says the second opinion, the third guy doesn't have to pay. That's not what's between them, whether or not he has to pay. Now, everyone agrees he doesn't have to pay. So now what's between them? The two who did mess up, how much do they have to pay? Do they have to pay the entire amount, or they only have to pay 2/3? Because there's only two of them after all. Each one took a decision based on a third culpability. I know that my liability in this case is 1/3. If I mess up. So therefore we make them pay 2/3, and the litigant has to suffer the loss. Or do we say no? Two of you caused the loss, so you split the loss between you, half each, right? So that's what's between them. That's the equivalent, that's between the opinions. How do we see that? So the Gemara explains, Lamanda ma zakai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the one who says zakai, Mishalmei, they have to pay it all. Why? Because the verdict they gave was a complete verdict. Zakai, innocent. As opposed to the second opinion, which is going to say now, with the second opinion, you'll see it clear in the second opinion, Lamadama ploni the ploni zakin, the ploni the ploni behind. The one who specifies, this one said innocent, this one said guilty, so then they only have to pay 2/3. Why? Because they made it clear that two people were going this way, and one was going that way. So it was clear from the judgment that only two were holding a certain way. So therefore, when it becomes liable, we see that only two out of three made you liable, so they should each pay their own third. Because it was specified. But when it's not, they're all together, and just zakai, so they have to pay the whole thing. Because it's not clear that there was any dissension. It looks like the entire court went against you. So the entire court is going to have to pay up. You're right, the entire court's going to pay up, but only those who were in error. Like, you're going to get the whole thing back. But when the judgment was specified to be only Plony and only Plony went against you, and one went for you, so you're going to know that if they messed up, then you're not going to get against all of them. You're only going to get against these two. And these two are only going to pay their share. It's not their share. No, I don't like it. But the Gemara doesn't like it either. It's a theoretical possibility, and the Gemara also rejects it.
I don't like it. That's he still
loses out. He's just lost, and why should he have to suffer? Nahon, why does he have to suffer just because somebody, one judge went with him?
One stupid judge got it right.
Got it right, and then he has to suffer, right? And because he was overturned. 100%. Let's just see if there's a footnote that gives a. Tov. Don't know. Okay. So, but the Gemara rejects it. The rejection here is also not so clear to me. The rejection says like this. The one who says, like Rabbi Yochanan, that he has to pay because they said a blanket statement of innocence. Why should he do that? Let them tell the other judge. Why should they have to pay? Ilav at Bahadan, if you had not been with us, lo hava salik din amidai, we never would have been able to make the judgment. What are they saying? The rejection is like this. We're rejecting your honor because Rabbi Yochanan's doesn't work. The other one works okay, or apparently. It's not the one that's the problem, even though that's the one that we had a problem with, because it wasn't fair. But the Gemara rejects it on the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that they have to pay everything. Right? They have to pay apparently more than their fair share. Instead of paying 1/3, 1/3, 1/3, now we have to pay 1/2 each. And so what can they say? They can turn to the third judge and say, we wouldn't be liable for anything if it wasn't for you. You're the one who gave the validity to the judgment, because you can't have two judges by themselves. So they can blame, so to speak, or they can hang their liability as conditional on the fact that there was a third judge.
What is that then?
Their chiyuv is tanai on the fact that there was a third judge. Without the third judge, they wouldn't have been liable at all. Two of them by themselves. We needed you, even though you went against us. You're the one who made the decision stand. It's because of you that we had to pay up. It's not our fault. It's interesting. It goes very well with the Gemara we were learning in Makot yesterday about whether the Tanai is what causes it or not. I don't know if that means anything to you. Anyway, the Tanai itself is not the cause, but without that Tanai, you wouldn't have it. Right? Isn't I'll tell Rav Mordi. I see the lights. Right? And apparently that's a good argument to throw this out. The fact that they could have said, without you, we wouldn't have to pay anything. And now, so it's not fair that we have to pay. They have a good argument. I'm still trying to work it out in my head how to understand the argument. They have a good, why it's a good argument. The Gemara thinks it's a good argument. Why is it a good argument to say, without you, we couldn't have made the judgment? It's true. I accept that's true. But why that means that it gets them off the hook from paying is not clear to me.
Meaning that the third one would have to pay it all?
No, would it should join in. Should join. Their argument is you should join in with us.
Wait, who has to pay? The innocent meaning that no one has to pay?
No, so what he's saying like this, I think he's saying like this. Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, what we're trying to do, we're trying to impose an answer on these three opinions. Rabbi Yochanan never said this. They never discussed the case of where judges erred and how they have to pay, and whether it's two or one or they pay third. They never discussed it at all. We have these three statements. Along comes the Gemara to try and work out why do they sit? What's the difference between them? Maybe the difference is this. And then the Gemara says, you know what, it can't be that, because the logic doesn't make sense. So it's not that we're saying Rabbi Yochanan really said this, and then we're saying, no, Rabbi Yochanan got it wrong, because he would never. We're saying that my understanding, trying to fit it on, doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because Rabbi Yochanan would never have said that they have to pay the full amount, when really he would have tried to split it between them. Because you could argue that the third one is also liable for his share, because he made up the court. Without him, the court couldn't have sat. He's also liable as being one of the three judges. He should also have to pay his share. And therefore, that's why the rejection is based on the fact that the two can turn to the third and say, without you, we couldn't have done anything. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that we just pay everything ourselves. Therefore, it can't be that it doesn't work. It can't be that that's Rabbi Yochanan's going to go with that shita. Therefore, we're going to drop that idea of how to explain these three opinions.
But what about the third opinion that says that...
We're going to get there now. I'm done.
No, the two dissenting judges pay, and then the person who's also has to cover a third. The one who's found either innocent or guilty.
He doesn't have to pay. That was in the first way of understanding the argument. The first way said he has to pay or he doesn't have to pay. That's right. What's between them. The second one says he doesn't have to pay at all. Nobody agrees he has to pay. And what we're discussing how much the other two have to pay.
No, I'm not talking about the judge. I'm talking about the person defendant.
The litigant. So in the case, the litigant pays everything. The litigant's guilty or innocent. If he's guilty, he pays up everything. Right? Because the case is, you owe 100 man. You owe 100 shekels.
So if there's an error.
Yeah.
So the judge is reimbursed. And the question is whether the judge is reimbursing two-thirds or full.
Correct. That was the option here in the second...
Right.
Shita as to how to understand, but we reject that and say it can't be, because the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't work. There's no way Rabbi Yochanan would go with the case that they would have to pay half each, when they could turn to the third judge and say, you should pay with us. So Ela Ika Benaihu. So the Gemara gives a third opinion, which it goes with. What's the third opinion that works? Mishum lo teilech rachil b'amecha. Their opinion is the difference between them is nothing to do with pain. It's to do with don't be a rachila, gossip monger, rachilut, right? Rabbi Yochanan at Mar Zakai. Rabbi Yochanan, who said Zakai, Mishum lo teilech rachil. He holds that you can't say Ploni said one thing and the other one said this one held you guilty and this one held you innocent, because that's going to lead to rechilus. It's going to lead to machloket, right? Why didn't you go with me? Why did you go? Right? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we care about rechilus so much, like it's in this case, that we're not going to list who said what. It's more important just to say zakai.
Dangerous to the judge.
Well, yeah, but it would be at least two of them. It's not one like the dissenting judge. It's not his fault. He got overturned by the majority. The dissenting judge didn't do anything. The dissenting judge is never going to get the blame.
The other two could be right.
As opposed to if it was all three. So all three took the blame together instead of two taking the blame. It's not. But he says it's still an issue of rechilut to say who said one and who said the other. It causes machloket in Am Yisrael that this one went. If you have everybody thought the same, then it's easier to understand. Also for the litigant himself. If the litigant hears that the case was unanimous, what can you do? Must be that I got it wrong. Everybody else in the world holds against me. You must be. I just got it wrong. But when I hear that someone sided with me, then I was right. Just those two just didn't understand. Right now, it's much better for the litigant to hear that it was a unanimous decision. Even if he lost, he feels better. So Rabbi Yochanan goes with Rechilut as being important. Who splits them up? Says who said each one. Why? Mishum de mechazei keshikra. He says that because he's more concerned. He's concerned about rechila, but he's more concerned about the appearance of lying. If we say innocent, sounds like everybody held you innocent. Sounds like it was a unanimous decision. And there's some guy there, I didn't hold him innocent. He's just to be like, the court declared innocent. Well, that's not right. I didn't declare innocent. Reish Lakish wants to make it clear he's more interested on the fact that the truth is out. The truth is more important. This one held you innocent, this one held you guilty, and this one held you innocent. And don't say that the court said innocent when it sounds like everybody held you innocent. Because it's not true. So that's Rabbi Elazar.
Right.
Now we come to Rabbi Elazar.
They're then boxing to it. Boxing and mention names.
Yeah, the judges said six. Right, said right.
It's a tie, and then right. You go to in the ring who has to make the final decision.
Okay.
So
they, right, because boxing are very mahmir to go like Reish Lakish.
Right.
Because they go with the bat there. Beating people up. So it's clear, that's why they go with Reish Lakish, because he was a bandit.
He's really a bandit. He's a bandit.
A bandit, he was a shoded. Reish Lakish had a shoded. Okay?
Shoded is bandit?
Yeah.
Ah, bandit.
Bandido. Okay.
One hand goes up, you know, the winner is, and then the other right. Hand, from the loser goes boom into the judge's face.
Okay, so that, and so, Rabbi Elazar, Idle Damar, he goes with both. You're right. But I care about both, says Rabbi Elazar. He seems to have a nice shiluv, a nice, right, of the two. I don't want to lie and say everyone was zakai. But I don't want to say exactly who said which, because that would be rechilut. So I'm going to say the decision of the court was that you were found to be innocent at the end of the day. Right, what does he say? What's the wording of mi divrehem nizdakeh ploni? From their words, innocence was found to be in ploni. Right? He was found to be ploni.
Now, with this opinion, if they make a mistake and the judges are found liable,
we have no clue.
Exactly. That's why I bring it up.
Nachon, because we rejected the other two opinions. We said that they don't go. There's no split between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan on what happens if they messed up and they came to court and how much they pay. Doesn't work. So we don't know from this writer what they would do on that. We threw out the attempt to fit that in.
Right, because the answer is elsewhere.
The answer will be elsewhere. If you have a case, probably at the beginning, where we looked at that, if you have a case of a court that makes an error in judgment, who has to pay? So, there's no mafoket between them.
Okay.
All the mafoket is not based on this, right? They might have a mafoket based on something else. But this isn't the mafoket between them in that subject.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we know, that subject is fine. No one's arguing they all have to pay or no one has to pay. I don't know. Whatever it is. You'd have to look at
the So Rashi answer. Didn't say anything on the last part.
Rashi didn't say anything on the last part.
At least I can't find anything.
Which last part? The last part was good. Right, it was clear.
Yeah. So
that's why he didn't say anything.
Did he say anything?
No, not the last bit. He explained the other two that we threw out, but just in the way we explained it.
According to Rabbi Elazar, no one has to pay?
No, we don't know. No, we said Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Those, for a start, the first two opinions on who pays were rejected anyway, so we don't know who has to pay. It was an attempt to try and work out this machloket between them. And at the end of the day, we threw it away. We said, it's not that. It doesn't work. But we never even got to Rabbi Elazar. But Yad Ramah, the first commentary said, actually, Rabbi Elazar would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, because he's also unstated. Right? These are two. Basically, they're very similar. This is the one way they're specified out, and that's where you can get the difference in whether or not they're going to pay or not going to pay, because it was actually named. But otherwise, Rabbi Elazar is more similar to Rabbi Yochanan.
So basically, they're more concerned with Rehilus than
lying.
Yeah.
Who? Who's they?
Elazar and Rav Yochanan.
Rav Elazar is concerned with both.
Right.
So he's concerned about both. Rabbi Yochanan is more concerned about Rechilut, and Reish Lakish is more concerned about lying. So Rabbi Yochanan is less concerned about lying, and Reish Lakish is less concerned about Rechilut.
So Rav Elazar.
They're both fine cases.
Right.
Because you could argue it's not really Rechilut. And you can argue he's not really lying. So it's not like we haven't got a strong argument against Reish Lakish. How can you do that when it's Rechilut? Or how can you do that Rabbi Yochanan when it's obviously lying? It's not. They're both there. Which way are you going to go? One's going to go more this way a little bit. One's going to go, that's his shita, which is more relevant. Rabbi Elazar comes and makes a third opinion that makes them shita together. You could ask the question, so why don't they both go like Rabbi Elazar? I don't know. Rabbi Elazar just seems to, but obviously there's reasons why. If you were in Rabbi Yeshua Cohen's class, they would ask that question, I'm sure. Why does Reish Lakish not go like Rabbi Elazar? Why does Rabbi Yochanan not go like Rabbi Elazar? Why don't they all say that? If this is a third one that covers both. So why don't they all take that opinion? Why stick with this? They should both say, you know what, Rabbi Elazar, you're right. He says, I'm worried about Rechilut. Reish Lakish says, you know what, I'm worried about Rechilut too, but I'm more worried about Sheker. And Rabbi Elazar says, fine, I'm worried about both of them, let's just solve it. This solves both problems. There's no Rechilut and there's no Sheker. Right? So if that dealt with both of them, why have we still got these two opinions? They should both drop, at this point, drop the hand and say, you're right, let's all go with Rabbi Elazar.
he solved the problem. I don't have to worry about Rakhil Otan, I don't have to worry about Sheka if I go with the third opinion.
But that is
so there has to be a question. So the question must be there to be answered. Why don't they go like that?
But that's the final thing, because they don't continue on. They continue.
No, but they don't. There were three different opinions. They held three different opinions. They are stuck on those three opinions. They know the other's opinions, right? The basis of the Gemara is that when you have a machloket between two parties, the other one knows very well the other opinion and chose his own. It's not that he just never heard that opinion, because then it's not a machloket. You can't say A is fighting with B if they never discussed the matter, and I don't know what your opinion is, and if I would have known it, I would have gone with it. No, the basis is, I know your opinion inside out, and I still choose mine. And you know my opinion inside out, and you still choose yours. That's why we have the machloket. So each one has a reason why he didn't go with the other opinion. Yeah?
It has to do with opinion.
Why? We just rejected that, so it's not. I mean, you could make an argument still. If you want to make an argument, go on. Why would you say it has to be?
The Sheker, someone went wrong. Someone's liable for making a mistake.
That's not the Sheker he's worried about.
What's he worried about?
The Sheker he's worried about is if when the court comes back with a declaration and says, whoever hands it over, signed piece of paper, or he stands up and says, we, the court, found him innocent. Well, the court didn't find him innocent. Two of the court found him innocent. One found him guilty. That's the Sheker.
So the Sheker is, they think it's unanimous, and actually it's not.
Yeah, it sounds like it's unanimous. We, the court, found him innocent. It doesn't say those words, we, the court, but that's the potential Sheker by the court. Because if the court declares innocent, then it's as if, that's why it's fine. If
that's what he should say. Yeah.
Why did he say that? The Gemara says he said that because he didn't want there to be any tam of Sheker. He didn't want to say like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai.
We the court.
Yeah.
Say we the court.
Yeah.
If we say we the court, then it's not known who has to pay what.
That's not the reason. He doesn't want to say we the court because then that would sound like a Sheker. Then we dropped the whole thing of payment. We said that's got nothing to do with it. The only reason they came up with these three statements is because one's worried about Rechilus, one's worried about Sheker, and the other one is worried about both of them.
Rabbi Yochanan is also saying we the court.
I'm saying we the court in order to make it say make sense. The Gemara just says the words Rabbi Yochanan Omer Zakkai. Reish Lakish Omer, Ploni Omer, Kafa, Poli Omer, Kafa. Right? So that's the words we the court find him innocent, I added in, because otherwise.
Yeah, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Rabbi Yochanan is saying.
That's not what Reish Lakish is saying.
Right. Why is Reish Lakish not saying that?
So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are saying we the court. The court found
him innocent. No, Rabbi Elazar is not saying we the court found him innocent. He's saying from the discussions of the court, he was found innocent. Exactly, there is a difference. We the court means everyone. We the court indicates it's got a tam. It's not exact. It's got a tam of
lying.
Unanimous.
So he's right.
That's where the Sheker is.
But Elazar is saying the Sheker.
No. What's the case? This is the actual case. This is exactly what happened. Two said innocent and one said guilty. That was the actual case. What happened when the court convenes to give their verdict? So in Rabbi Yochanan's court, Rabbi Yochanan stands up and says, he's innocent. And they go off. In Reish Lakish's court, he stands up and he says, judge number one said guilty. Judge number two said innocent. Judge number three said innocent. And Rabbi Elazar's court, he stands up and he says, from the deliberation of the judges, it was found that you're innocent. That's different. This one sounds
like
unanimous.
Right.
This
may not be.
May not be. Therefore, this one has a ta'am of Sheker, and that's why Reish Lakish doesn't like it. Reish Lakish doesn't like lying.
He was in that world and he got out of the maze. I don't like lying. Right?
So
Rashi specified them out, but now this has got a tam of Rechilus.
Why tam of Shekhel?
Because it sounds unanimous.
Unanimous?
But it wasn't Pechad. It was two against one.
So it wasn't Pechad. What's the motivation if it wasn't Pechad to say?
But why? Because he doesn't want to say like Reish Lakish. Plony said this, Plony said Chayav, Plony said why? Because it's got time of Rechilut. Now you're causing a problem. If you say Plony found you good and he went against you and he went for you, he gets it. So it can lead to Rechilut. Can.
So we have to choose you. This will be all Shekel or Rechilut.
Nachon, all Shekel or Rechilut. A Kolonkas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't have to have Shekel or Rechilut. You can say, to be Divrehem, Nizdakeh, Plony. From their words, they were found innocent, meaning no one's saying it was Perchad, and no one's telling you who it was. And therefore, this one, you don't have to worry about Shekel or Rechilut. And that's why we had the question, if this one works for everyone, why have we still got these opinions? Why would Rabbi Yochanan basically stay with their opinions when they know they could go with this opinion and not have to worry about anything? That's an unanswered question that we're just posing at the end. There is a reason why they stuck with their opinion. We don't have it on the page, but I'm sure the Mepharshim would discuss.
Well, we still have the issue of who's responsible for reimbursing.
There's a different question. It's like saying we have an issue for what happens if one judge comes in late. You're right, but it's got nothing to do with this issue at all.
Whereas with Reish Lakish, there's a possibility that you find a judge at the bottom of the lake.
Right. So, but the question of the payment. The Gemara saying is it irrelevant? It's a very nice question. It's wonderful. You need to know it, but it's not nothing to do with what's going on here. We thought it would be, and we try to bring it in and say, this fits. Must be that's what they were arguing about. And we said, no, it can't be what they're arguing about.
Where's the so then does sound good.
So once you throw it away, you throw it away. Unless you want to say there's a remez in the argument that there's something going on behind it. So, deeper levels of Gemara, but on the surface chat, we threw it away.
Right, but what about Reish Lakish's argument about Rehilus, which is valid?
Well, they're not. There's only a tam. It's not real Shekhan, it's not real Rehilus. To say one judge said this, one judge went with you, one judge went against you, it's not really Rehilus. But he's worried that it could lead to.
Which is that? Rehilus. That's why Rav Eliezer.
No, but it's meaning if it really was a classic case, then not then for sure we couldn't have Reish Lakish couldn't have said that. If there's an opinion and it's a valid opinion that it is Rechilus to say the names, like it's then you're not allowed to do it. It's forbidden.
But the question
not allowed to break. It's like no, they're not allowed to eat. Cheeseburger for their lunch just because they're dying in. So they're not allowed to cause Rechilus just because they're dying in. If it really was Rechilus. But we're saying it's a ta'am of Rechilus. So better not to cause a problem, he says. If I've got an option, you know what? I prefer not to cause the problem. I'm just going to say Zakat.
The question is any nafkamina?
Yeah.
Now is the verdict.
Yes.
It's stuck.
Yes.
So machpatli, if is any nafkamina that it was two against one. If this is the Pesach Gamarnu, Yesh Ezeh Nafkamina, that Shaya, that Miut,
so,
Im Ein Lezeh Nafkamina, Shelo Yasu Bishvil Zeh Yiru'ur, or Mashu, Bishvil Ma Lehagid Bichlal, Im Zeh Mem Ein Lezeh Pesach Chalut, it's finished.
But there is a Nafkamina.
Okay.
Because a Nafkamina is Shekel or Rechilut.
No.
It's not a nafkamina in terms of mamashiyut,
no,
but it's in terms of the law.
The question if it's nafkamina that was that miut mul
separately.
Im end is a nafkamina, and this is the verdict. Then the verdict is like absolute. Uh-huh. So why to tell that was there? Now gemarnu.
Because you have to say something.
you have to, there has to be a, there had the he said, the litigant said, the ballet didn't say no, what was the answer? So you have to say innocent, guilty, yes, no, him, you have to say one of these two things. The question is, which one is he going to say?
But it's not like if you got a verdict, Gamarnu.
But what verdict? Because even if you got a verdict, Gamarnu, you still have to say innocent, zakai, chayav, etc. You still have to say one of them. So which one are you going to say? You're right, there's no difference. He's still chayav or he's still zakai. But what do the judges actually say? The Gemara wants to know. Because if I say it this way, I have a problem. If I say it that way, I say I have a problem. And Rabbi Elazar says, if you say it this way, you don't have a problem at all.
The idea for chilut is saying that this judge got it wrong. Is that the chilut that's here?
Let's see what he says about chilut.
I think
he says.
Rabbis still have to stand by what they say.
Okay, apparently, so according to Rambam, it does. Revealing the identity of the judges responsible for the verdict violates the prohibition against gossip mongering, since it exposes those judges to the ill will of the losing party. Why is it rechilut? Because it makes someone feel bad about them. Up until now, I quite like that guy. But now I know he went against me, or forget it. I'm not sending him a Hanukkah present.
That's why I said you'll find him in the bottom of the river.
Only if he's raised that quiche before he got made to sugar. Right. But so it's causing ill will between Jews. Yeah.
We know that certain rabbis we follow or DeVray, let's say Mamunot, and we are just saying that's DeVray, whatever it might be.
Right.
And when it comes to Hillel and Shammai, accepting these number.
But what's the difference? No, so what's the difference? Difference is it's not personal. Now it's personal.
It's what?
That's not personal. If I follow Hillel or I follow Shammai, then it's not personal. I don't have anything against Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel or any of the Tanayim, just because I don't like the way they rule. But now I do, if it's in my court case, and this guy didn't believe me and went against me and didn't hold what I held, and so that's personal, that's like a one-on-one.
I'm wholesaling him to be my rabbi, because I don't like what he's saying.
Yeah, but it's not his opinion.
If I have three rabbis and I look everything up that concerns these three rabbis and the Gemara, I say this is what I like. You know, I like the way he.
I like his shita. I'm with his shita. Okay.
I'm with his shita. Okay. I like Rav Aruch. And then two others. He's okay, but it's not like him. And the other one, I never go to. He said, what he's saying is terrible. You know, no one's going to abide by that. No, it's too strict. It's just it's not for this generation.
So you're saying that the same argument could be leveled against the Gemara. The Gemara also causes rechilut in Am Yisrael because we also would not like the strict opinions of some of the rabbis.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to go to a judge.
It's different. It's different about. No, but there's a difference in not wanting to go to him, or I don't agree with him, because as opposed to I feel like he's personally caused me loss. If I was in a case and that judge that I don't like was sitting on that and he went against me, so now I've got a direct loss from him.
But I try to avoid him.
But he was sitting in the case.
To stay out of his court. I don't want to. I'll get sick.
Anything
that I not be judged by. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If I knew who it was, I'd do everything to avoid it.
Yeah, but no, you don't know that until he's made the verdict. You only know after the verdict who's going to go against with you.
Based on the verdict that he's had.
Who's going to go for you and who's going to go against you? You don't know. At the end of the case, after these three judges, the general case is you don't know them. You don't know this guy's going to go against you.
The judge is always his cases have always been against you. And I'm a woman, then I don't want to be in front of that judge.
But then it comes back to the. That's the difference with you about whether you can pick the judges or the general. But we're talking about the general case where there's no argument against the judges, three judges. Just three random judges, right? Three rabbis. Like it would normally be the case. And then at the end of it, you find one went against you. You don't like it now.
Just the fact that they have to pay. Someone has to pay.
No, only if you got it wrong. We're not talking about whether
you got it wrong.
No, we're talking about the case.
Someone got it wrong.
No, someone got it wrong.
What?